You've seen it in others. You've probably done it yourself. How many different churches or assemblies or synagogues have you attended in search of the true faith? Or perhaps you have searched for that religion that just feels right. Like the story of Goldilocks, you know. This church is too hard. This church is too soft. This church is just right. Well, my mother was Catholic, and my father was Presbyterian. It's kind of a bipolar household, you might say. And in my entire childhood, I never attended services with either or both of them. A neighbor took pity on my sister and me, and with my parents' permission, took us, both pre-adolescents, to the First Baptist Church, where I had my first religious and later spiritual experience. As a teenager, the hand of Yahweh was revealed to me in that church. However, when I answered the altar call, was ushered into a room with a young counselor, asked if I wanted to be baptized, and not really understanding the meaning of baptism, replied no, and was then ushered through a door in that office out into the parking lot. Talk about confusion. Still, I continued my search. I attended a number of various congregations. I became Mormon at one point, trying to live a righteous life. I paid my tithing. I went through the temple, but taking the phrase, "Be ye therefore perfect," literally and legalistically, and failing, duh, I left and separated myself from the Creator, believing I would never meet His expectations. That's not much different than I know now, but still then I believed that I could. Now I'm telling you all this because I believe many of you have done this too. Search for the truth and search for a congregation that seemed correct. Well, if my experience has any validity or any credibility, then I suggest for your consideration that there is no correct church, assembly, synagogue, or house of worship, not even the one I am currently standing in. We are not the perfect assembly, and our faith is not the perfect faith, and neither is your assembly. Neither is your church, neither is your synagogue, the perfect assembly with the perfect faith. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 14 and verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1, which begins, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Yahweh looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek Elohim. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one." Now, if you can understand the word corrupt and what it means and what abominable works means, then you will understand that this chastisement is about sin, the transgression of the law of Yahweh. And if you look in 1 John 3:4, you'll see it describes it exactly that way. Sin is a transgression of the law of Yahweh. It's a transgression of the word of Yahweh. It means to cease from obedience to the will of the Father. And there are none who do that perfectly, who obey perfectly. Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. Mark 7 and verse 9. He, being Yahshua, said to them, all too well, he's speaking to the Pharisees here, all too well you reject the commandment of Yahweh so that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, and that means a gift to Yahweh, then you no longer, this is Yahshua speaking, you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of Yahweh of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. And many such things you do. Yahshua was upset at the Pharisees for making their own laws that covered up and did away with, effectively, the law of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh is the commandment of Yahweh, as you can see in those verses. And though word and commandment are grammatically singular, they refer to everything Yahweh has said. Matthew 4 and verse 3. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 3. Well, just verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3 there. So there are none who have obeyed the law of Yahweh perfectly, except one. Yes, there is one individual who was, is, and forever will be perfect. And he now sits at the right hand of Yahweh, Yahshua HaMashiach, Yahshua the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, who did only and who did everything that his father told him to do. He was perfect, and his faith was perfect. His faith was perfect. Now this begs the question, what is the faith of Yahshua? What did he believe? How did he worship his father? And most importantly for our discussion, are we to do the same? Now there are seven verses that are witnesses to the faith of Yahshua that can be pointed to in the book of Revelation. Let's look at them. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, 12. Most of us don't have to look that up. We know that pretty intimately. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. The word patience means hopeful endurance in the Greek. Faith means persuasion, belief, fidelity, credence, or moral conviction. And by extension, the word faith can refer to a system of religious truth itself. A system, you know, like the Bible. To keep means to guard, to hold fast, and to serve. Saints means the righteous ones. And so a different translation of Revelation 14:12 might read, "Here is the hopeful endurance of the righteous ones. Here are those who guard, hold fast, and serve the commandments of Yahweh, and the fidelity and the system of religious truth of Yahshua." Yahshua is saying to John, in essence, here is where those who are seeking righteousness will find hope, eternal hope that will endure to the end. Serve Yahweh by obeying His commandments as I have done. Now that's a loose translation, but for me, that's what he's saying to John. Obey the commandments of Yahweh if you want hope. So what is the faith of Yahshua? Simple. His faith is obedience to Yahweh. Pure and simple, but not necessarily easy. So is this your faith, to obey Yahweh? As I look back to all of the congregations I've attended, I see that, yes, there was a semblance of obedience to Yahweh. Whether those assemblies were Jewish, Messianic, Catholic, Christian, or even Wiccan or Buddhist. I mean, it might sound strange for you to hear me say that. But if obedience to Yahweh is what true faith is, and if your understanding of who the Creator is, and you adhere to that, then that's a semblance of what Yahshua is saying to us. I can see a semblance of obedience to Yahweh in all of these religions, but is that what Yahweh wants? Is that what Yahshua believed? Is that his faith? No. Are those religions his faith? No, he would not condone that. Now, in truth, no one can, while living in this flesh, obey Yahweh perfectly. However, who understands that more than Yahweh? After all, he created us, then cursed the earth for our benefit when we, Adam, which means man, disobeyed him. Yahweh instituted the law of sin and death right there and then with Adam and Eve. You know, the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. But Yahweh sent a shepherd to gather the lost sheep into a flock of righteous ones. Those sheep who would follow the shepherd and walk his path to the green pastures and still waters of the kingdom of Yahweh. Shall we walk together on this path? Or shall we each go our own way? I mentioned earlier that I found 7 witnesses to the faith of Yahshua in the book of Revelation. The second one is in Revelation 12, verse 17, which says, "And the dragon, Satan, was enraged with the woman, Eve, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring." Who are they? "Who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah." So here again is a reference to the commandments of Yahweh and to the testimony of Yahshua. Now, testimony means evidence given. You know, you testify in court, it's evidence that's given. It's a record, it's a report or a witness. The testimony of Yahshua is the evidence of his obedience to the Father. That's his testimony, is his obedience. If you would turn for a moment to John 5 and verse 30. John 5, verse 30. It's a small verse, but it testifies of Yahshua's testimony. John 5, verse 30. "I can of myself do nothing." Does that sound like us? "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So when he says, as I hear, who's he listening to? Well, he's listening to Yahweh. And any judgment he gives is sure to be correct because he's giving the judgment that is given to him by Yahweh. And three chapters later in John chapter 8, in verse 42, beginning there, if you want to turn there, John 8, 42 begins, Yahshua said to them, and again, he's speaking to the Pharisees, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are not able to hear what I'm saying. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words. Therefore, you do not hear me because you are not of Yahweh. Witness number three in Revelation 1, starting at verse 1. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, which Yahweh gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word, to the commandment of Yahweh, and to the testimony, the faith, of Yahshua the Messiah, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Again, the commandment of Yahweh, the faith of Yahshua. Witness number 4, Revelation 1 and verse 9, just a few verses down. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Yahshua the Messiah, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word, the commandment of Yahweh, and for the testimony, the faith of Yahshua the Messiah. Witness number 5, chapter 15 in Revelation. Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of Yahweh is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of Yahweh. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Yahweh El Shaddai. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, and for your judgments have been manifested. Why is this verse a witness? Well, why are they singing about Moses and the Lamb of Yahweh? Well, the answer is Moses was given the law by Yahweh, and Yahshua came to enact it, to show us what it looks like to obey the law of Yahweh. Witness number 6, Revelation verse 20, starting at verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Yahshua, for the faith of Yahshua, and for the word of Yahweh, for the commandments, obeying the commandments of Yahweh. who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. We're talking about the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Witness number 7, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, this is another part, is the same vision, but just spoken in a different place. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of Yahweh and for the testimony which they held. So these seven places in the book of Revelation, which is significant in itself, the number is perfect, testify to the importance of understanding the law of Yahweh and obeying that law, being in the Messiah who obeyed the law. Turn now to chapter 2 of Revelation and listen to what Yahshua says about the assembly at Pergamos. Revelation 2 and verse 12. These things says he who has the sharp, two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell. Where do they dwell? Where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name. What's his name? The salvation of Yahweh. And did not deny my faith. Did not deny my faith. Even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. He refers to Antipas as a martyr and a faithful martyr in a place where Satan dwells. And he notes that the people at Pergamos did not give up the faith of the Messiah. You did not deny my faith, Yahshua says. It doesn't say what Antipas was martyred for. But what I understand about paganity is that the authorities really didn't care what your religion was, but they got bent out of shape when people refused to give offerings to Zeus, the god of the pagan temple in Pergamos. Since Zeus was the sun deity, who knows, maybe Antipas got caught working on Sunday. Whatever it was, it cost Antipas his life. It is not unlike humans to twist things to suit their needs. It's very human. There is no more true in some of the texts. I should say this is no more true than in some of the texts of the Scripture. One twist in particular has bearing on our discussion. If you would turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15, which begins, we who are Yahudim by nature, and what Paul is saying there is those of us who are worshippers of Yahweh through heritage, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Yahshua the Messiah, even we have believed in Messiah Yahshua, that we might be justified by faith in Messiah, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Well, isn't that pretty clear? Okay, sounds great, huh? We can't be justified by the works of the law, so let's just throw the law of the Creator of the universe out the window. No more law. Salvation is purely by believing in the Messiah. Okay, let's all go home. Nope. But there's a problem with this translation. The Young's literal translation version of this text identifies the error here. It reads, in verse 15, a man is not declared righteous by works of the law, if not through the faith of Yahshua the Messiah. If not. The Greek there is ian me, if not. Not the word but the two words, if not. If not. So man is not declared righteous by works of the law, if not through the faith of Yahshua the Messiah. Also we in the Messiah, Yahshua, did believe that we might be declared righteous by the faith of Messiah and not by the works of the law. Wow. This is amazing. The true text says, in essence, that justification is by both obedience to the law of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. Now, aren't those two things the same thing? Indeed, the faith of Yahshua is obedience to the Father. How could that be clearer? You have the law and you have the man who was able to do the law perfectly. Both are required. Both the law and a belief, faith in the man who was able to obey perfectly. And it's even, it's kind of adding the frosting on the cake here. Paul even reiterates this teaching in the next set of verses. Listen to this, verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by the Messiah, we ourselves also are found sinners, and what is sin? Ian me, if not the transgression of the law of Yahweh, if while we seek to be justified by the Messiah, we ourselves also are found sinners, is the Messiah therefore a minister of sin? Is Yahshua saying it's okay to sin? And he says, certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, in other words, if I go back to my sinful behavior, I make myself a transgressor. A transgressor of what? The transgressor of the law of Yahweh. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to Yahweh. Notice, it was Paul who died, not the law. He's referencing the law of sin and death. How do you avoid death? Don't sin. Don't transgress the law of Yahweh. While in the flesh, we are by nature sinful. But he who acknowledges the sacrifice of Yahshua and the promise of being born from above at the time of the first resurrection, when we will receive spiritual bodies of perfection. Verse 20. I have been, this is Paul speaking, I have been impaled with the Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but the Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Yahweh, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying that he's acknowledging that even though he's in the flesh, he's striving to abide in the faith of Yahshua. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of Yahweh. In other words, I'm grateful for the salvation given to me through no righteousness on my part. And he goes on, for if righteousness comes through the law, in other words, if we could actually fulfill the law, then the Messiah died in vain. Therefore, what that means is there would be no purpose for a Messiah if we could fulfill it by obeying the law. What Paul is saying is not a mystery. And it is certainly not an abridgment of the law of Yahweh. Praise be to Yahweh who sent his Son that all may live in eternity. For those who believe in the Messiah, are baptized in his name, and who receive the down payment of the Holy Spirit, which is the mind and heart of Yahweh, and having that Spirit within them, strive to obey the will, the law of Yahweh. For them is reserved a place in the kingdom of Yahweh. I have one more witness to the message set forth here today. It's the introduction to the resurrection of Eleazar, or Lazarus in Greek. If you turn to the book of John in chapter 11. John chapter 11 and starting at verse 17. So when Yahshua came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, that Lazarus, that Eleazar had been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Yahshua was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Yahshua, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of Yahweh, Yahweh will give you." Wow, that's faith. Verse 23, Yahshua said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Yahshua said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Now verse 26 is the key verse here. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." You notice he didn't say simply, "whoever believes in me shall never die." He said, "whoever lives and believes in me." Now, what does it mean to live in the Messiah? I think it means to live as he lived, to do as he did. Verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Master, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, who is to come into the world." And you know the story from there. It's not just believing in Yahshua that guarantees our eternal life, but living in Yahshua that will bring that reward. We are to live the life he lived in obedience to Yahweh. May Yahshua lead us across the judgment coming down from heaven to that promised land. Hallelujah.